Welcome to the Bullets and Bourbon Podcast, where it's not about the bourbon, but more about who you share it with.
Welcome back to Bullets and Bourbon, everybody. It's your host, Jason, with Dan and Craig. Before we jump into our normal foray of going through what's in our cup, I'd be remiss if we didn't talk about what we had earlier before we started to record. A little pre-gaming, if you will, which I think is completely acceptable. Was nice to have Craig bring over some Blanton's Takara Black, and we paired that with a cigar starts. Just wonderful cigar. I'm not a cigar connoisseur, so I can't really speak to it. But it was great. I really enjoyed this one. I'm gonna kick it to Dan because he is the cigar guy. And tell us about this cigar, man. Because I tell you what, I enjoyed it, man. I need to grab some more of those as soon as I can.
Oh yeah, Julian, our connection down at Cigar Starts really hooked us up with a couple of cigars to get the show started tonight. They're made over in the Dominican. They're aged for about 3 to 5 years. It's a good Dominican blend. I know from the conversations, I'm pretty sure, what is the guy's name? It's going to drive me absolutely.
Davidoff, I think you said it was. Or
Well yeah, it is. One of the blenders from Davidoff has assisted them with their own blend. And it's going to drive me nuts because I can't remember the guy's name. I want to say it's Diaz is his last name for some reason.
It was a heck of a cigar, though. I mean, and you know how I am with cigars. I'm pretty kind of set in my ways. I don't explore as much as you do when it comes to cigars.
Yeah. The draw was nice and smooth.
Yeah.
The wrapper, I mean, great. It didn't fall apart. It was very well put together for a young cigar. You know, the thing with Julian, he put a lot of information out there. He's on Instagram, has a lot of good content for people that are starting to get into cigars, which I've suggested to you time and time again.
I know.
You know, if you're just trying to get some general knowledge and get into it, good guy to follow. He's on Instagram at Cigar Starts.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a great cigar paired with the Blanton's. I'm definitely ordering a hell of a lot more to put in my humidor.
And mine.
And yours, and I know I'm hoping to get a couple extras that I'm going to buy for some of the guests and some of the other people we have on in the future.
Easy smoker.
Easy smoker for sure. But, you know, again, Julian, Cigar Starts, we thank you and your people for taking good care of us. And, Jason, what are you drinking tonight?
So I went with something that Bardstown Bourbon Company is a favorite of mine, and they do some really creative stuff there. The one that I'm drinking tonight is part of the collaborative series. It's called the Foursquare Bardstown Bourbon Company Rum Distillery kind of blend. And I don't remember where I picked this up. If you ever get down to Bardstown proper in Kentucky and you go to Bardstown Bourbon Company's distillery, it's a treat, man. I tell you what, it is like – it's a beautiful distillery with a just an amazing customer experience. You go in there, and they've got all of their series. They've got the Collaborative series, the Origin series, the Fusion series, and they just do some really creative blending. They also, you know, they have their own kind of like their own baby, you know, brand that is just phenomenal as well. But the people there are accessible. The bar is stocked with bourbons from all over Kentucky, so it's you're not just getting theirs. You can sit at their bar, have a treat. You know, and just sip away and get a real feeling for what's in Bardstown. This one particularly is a collaboration with Foursquare Rum Distillery, and it is a banger. And those of you that know me pretty well, when I say banger, it's one that I really truly enjoy, and I love to drink. I hate to see go. I get a little misty eyed when I know it's down to the last pour. This one, the rum just shines through. The finish on it is just phenomenal. It's got a great nose. You can pick up the elements of the sweetness from the rum. The palate is straightforward, just full of just citrusy notes, that kind of that rum bringing out the best of that blend. And the finish is nice. It's a nice long finish with a very, very decent Kentucky hug. Not the strongest hug, not the strongest finish, but it just pairs so well with what they did. They really knocked this one out of the park. And I could talk all day about what Bardstown Bourbon Company does. and I won't because it'll bore people to death, but this is one that if you see it, Barstown Bourbon Company, Four Square Rum Distillery Series, Collaborative Edition, grab it. I promise you, you will not be disappointed, as long as it's at retail or near retail. Y'all know how I am with that. So, yeah, that's what's in my cup, and it's about to get refilled because as we were trying to get started, I kind of sipped this joke a little fast. Dan, what do you got? I see you got a bottle over there that you know I like.
Oh yeah. I got the Breckenridge. If you're from Colorado, the Rocky Mountains, you know what it is. I'm kind of excited because we do have our friend Eric coming into town in April.
Very soon, two weeks.
He's coming from Colorado, so hopefully he brings us a bottle or two while...
Hint, hint, Eric.
Yeah. It's a nice, easy pour. It's a good blend. I like it because it's middle of the week. I got to work in the morning. I got to drive tonight. It's an 86 proofer, which is good. You know, so if you're just looking for something enjoyable, something light, you know, that you could just sip and not have to worry about anything. You know, I also remember a couple times I paired this with some cigars, and it's a good pour, very enjoyable. And
affordable.
Affordable, and I would recommend.
Yeah.
I would definitely recommend over some of the high shelf end bottles out there.
Yeah.
It's enjoyable. So,
Craig,
we're blessed tonight.
Yeah, we finally got Craig on the podcast.
Finally, episode 4, Craig decides to finally show up. What are you drinking on?
Well, you've heard us talk about it many times before. So not to beat a dead horse, but I always love my local Liberty Pole, little mesquite smoked malt rye whiskey.
Here, here. Good choice. All right. I like that.
Cheers, gentlemen. Cannot speak enough about the Huffs, Liberty Pole. This mesquite smoked malt rye whiskey, for me, smells like it reminds me of barbecue.
Yep.
That's the mesquite smoke. So when I sniff it, and I am not, by no means am I a great person to ask about bourbon, whiskey, any of the above. I am very much like, yep, I like it. It's good. It's hot. It's this. It's that. I'm very simplistic. I probably do not have the best palate. It reminds me of a sweet heat barbecue.
There you go. Okay. Yeah.
And on the finish... first one, I always drink mine with a rocks cube, though. So as the pour goes on, obviously the rocks cube cuts a little bit. But that first pour, I was like, ooh, had a little hug to it. Got me in the chest a little bit. I had to pick up the bottle and looked, and it was 119 proof. That explained it.
Oh, yeah, that'll play. That mesquite's no joke. I mean, it's like barbecue in a glass.
Right.
I
didn't look at it before I poured it. I had no idea what it was. But when I took that first sip before the ice cut it a little bit, I was like, oh, it's got a little... It's got a nice little heat to it, though, and I'm like, that would be the 119 proof.
That's a memorable bottle of all the ones that they put out. There's a couple other distilleries that do like a mesquite smoked or like a dark fired charcoal, like that deep mesquite smoky taste to it. MB Roland is another one, which is Liberty Pole and MB Roland are very close. They did a phenomenal job on that bottle. I'm just wondering when I'm going to get you to drink it straight or neat. I'm sorry, not straight, but neat and not over ice, because that's when it really blossoms. Are we going to see it soon?
I think, unfortunately for me, as I'm not a spring chicken anymore, is what the doctor tells me. Drinking it neat, I feel a little bit of heartburn kicking in. So luckily, the ice tends to... get me away from the heartburn a little bit here. But no, amazing bottle. It's always interesting to me when you say something like a mesquite smoked malt rye. Just the title sucked me in. Wanted to try it, though.
Yeah.
No.
It's different.
No. Yeah, I mean, and one of the things you said, too, is like, you know, you may not, you know, a simplistic approach to bourbon tasting, or you have a simple palate. I know we talked about this before. I disagree with the idea that, you know, not being able to pull out all the notes is a bad thing. I think we talked about this when we were talking about barrel picks and going down. I'm a big believer that you need to have people that just go, I like it. I don't like it.
That's me. I can't pick out shit, but I'll tell you, this is good. Yeah, we need to pour this down the drain to get something else.
I think my problem is I'm always, because, you know, when you want to convey to people who are asking you, how does it taste?
Right.
Tell me about this, though. I cannot articulate, well, I pick out plum. I pick out cranberry. I pick out sweet. I pick out this. And so I always feel like I am doing a disservice to those out there saying, well, don't bring me, because I'm going to say, it's good. It's sweet. I could pick up on it's a little higher proof, or it does not drink like a 130 or whatever it is, though. So I'm very simplistic, though.
I get it, and that's a fair point. I think, though, too, like I think a lot of people that are into whiskey or looking to get into whiskey, and they go on some of the podcasts or the reels and stuff like that, and they get this guy, and he's got his little sash tucked into his buttoned-up collar shirt, and he's like, oh, I sense elements of nutmeg and a slight cow fart or whatever, and it just turns them off. It's almost like the – you know, not that wine's, you know, the wine kind of line of things is all that different, but the first thing with whiskey for me is, do you like it? Does it taste good? And then you grow into it. Your palate gets more refined. I mean, I don't think that I really knew a lot, and I still don't think I know a lot. I just drink a lot of whiskey, and hopefully I get it right. But I don't never discount the guy that's just like, man, I don't know what that is. Pour me another. It was fantastic. It was so good, and it burned, or it had a great hug, and I just can't wait to get another pour.
Well, I don't disagree with that. You know, 50 of us walk into a bar, and 48 of us say it's good. I can't tell you why. I can't tell you the notes. I can't tell you the hug. I can't tell you this. But you know what? It was an amazing pour.
Yeah.
That's good enough for me, though.
There you go. I mean, and they do. They knocked that bottle, particularly the Mesquite Smoked Malted Rye. They knocked it. Absolutely, I mean, I think out of the ballpark.
Yeah,
I mean,
with that said, talking about knocking it out of the ballpark.
Oh, we're gonna switch gears.
We're gonna switch gears a little okay, bit. You know, right. Have you been following the baseball?
So, as you know, I didn't watch baseball for many, many years. I got to tell you, I am getting sucked back in big time this year with the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Ryan Reynolds.
Yes.
100 with the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Yeah. Congratulations to Ryan Reynolds, man. I tell you what, you're on a 9-3 team, you know, first in the division, and you smack your 100th dinger. I mean, hats off to you, and hats off to the Pirates. I know it's early in the season, and I know that, you know, I'm an adopted Yinzer, right? Do I get to call myself that yet?
Yeah, you've been here, what, 6 years now?
Southern Yinzer. So I bring the best of both worlds. And the Pirates this year, there's this feeling that kind of reminds me of the Braves in 1990, 91, 92, when they were starting to kind of, you could tell something was, you know, something special was beginning to happen in the city of Atlanta. And then I crossed my fingers because I tell you what, for Pirates fans, especially in the city of Pittsburgh, it's long overdue. And we deserve a summer of love and a fall classic that you know that ends up with a crown, in my opinion. I don't know. I mean, you grew up here, so you tell me. I mean, what's it like?
You know, for years and years, it was disappointed. Then we made that wild card game years ago. Lots of excitement, lots and lots of excitement in the city. Like, okay, ownership's finally dumping some money. Keeping some players around instead of trading them off for a Coke machine or a foot long, you know. So, right. So we had hope, you know, years ago. But, you know, last year, you know, they started out really strong, you know, got a lot of the fans all hyped up again. And I'm just hoping it's not a repeat of last year where they die off down at the All-Stars. Like it's great seeing McCutchen back in Pittsburgh. You know, it was sad to see him leave. You know, anytime he came back to Pittsburgh, it was always a warm welcome.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm glad he made Pittsburgh his home. But, you know, hopefully him being the veteran with some experience, you know, he can energize and keep these young guys focused. And you know, it's a long season.
Especially, you know, we kind of talked about this before, too, that, you know, it seems like the Pirates, you know, in particular, they would do great the first half. And then they would get to the All-Star break and they go home or whatever, an All-Star break, and they come back and it was like downhill after that. And so, you know, hopefully they can guard against that. There's a little bit more wisdom, a little bit more mentorship on the team. But you're right. The energy in the city on Facebook and these places, these, you know, the medians that we end up visiting and figuring out, people are hyped up. I mean, they're jazzed. And I tell you, as a transplant, as an adopted Yinzer, if you will, I can't think. I remember being young, going to city to city to city and seeing ballpark after ballpark. Loved doing that. I was a huge baseball guy. You know, we got a great stadium, and it's in a beautiful part of the city. It's got great views. It's a wonderful place to hang out. How cool would it be if we made it this year? I mean,
honestly, I'd be excited if they made playoffs. If
like they season made, ticket excited?
Yeah.
Or a large hot dog and a large Coke excited? Like, there's a difference.
You know what? They keep jacking their prices up every year. I know so many people with season tickets, and every year it gets harder and harder for them to continue to buy the full season tickets because right. they jack the prices up. And, you know, expectations are high. They're not met. I think if they made the playoffs this year, I would at least have to go buy half a season ticket. You know what I mean? At least two seats for at least the first half of the season, because you know they're going to do good. But, you know, depending on how deep they go, I PNC Park, I've had people all over the country, you know, we're in the military, you know, we always go visit one another. And every time they come to Pittsburgh, one of the places they want to stop at or go, especially if it's spring or summer, they want to hit PNC Park because the skyline is unmet. I think hands down, PNC Park has one of the best ballparks in all of MLB.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, you know, again, you come out of the I do at least because I come from a different way. I come out the Fort Pitt Tunnel, right? That's the way I go. You have to help me out because I'm directionally challenged. Pittsburgh, by the way, is the only city in the world that I've ever lived in that I haven't figured out, and I don't think I ever will. And that includes Istanbul and other major world cities. Pittsburgh just has my number. But you come out and you're presented with this magnificent view coming across the Three Rivers, and the ballpark's phenomenal. You see Heinz Field. I'm sorry, what is it called now? AccuSure.
It's Heinz Field. We're still going to call it Heinz Field.
We're going to call it where the Steelers play. And it's just a wonderful area. And, you know, so for those people that are listening that are not from Pittsburgh or haven't come here, I tell you, Pittsburgh is a really cool city with a lot of different cultural clashes and just rabid sports space and just great people. I would call it a blue-collar town. I mean, it feels blue-collar.
I mean, it's still blue-collar. Yeah. I mean, all the steel mills are gone, but there's still a lot of blue-collar jobs around here. You got a lot of the oil workers, oil and gas.
Yeah.
A lot of, like, spring factories and things like that. There's still a lot of good blue-collar jobs here in Pittsburgh.
That down-home feeling. I told Jennifer, when we first moved back here, Jennifer is from Pittsburgh. We went to a Steelers game, and it was against the Chiefs, and this was back in probably 19, I think it was. And we went to tailgate, specifically to tailgate. I mean, we had tickets, but the whole purpose was to go down and tailgate. And I'm like, tailgate at a pro football game? Okay, I've never done that. So I grew up a college guy. And we get down there, and man, let me tell you something. The city of Pittsburgh rocks like a college football atmosphere on crack. I mean, there were Bloody Mary bars. There was terrible towels out. There was, I mean, you name it. There sports figures were out there. Broadcasters were out there. People were having a blast. And then you pile in the stadium, and everybody's singing on the way in. And the same, I mean, it's just a city that really embraces its professional sports teams. So it would just be really, really cool to see the Pirates, the Buccos, make a run.
Well, that's the thing a lot of people don't understand, too. When I got out of the military, you know, I had a hard time finding a job. I was doing Uber. I was doing Lyft. And surprisingly, like, a lot of people take vacations in Pittsburgh just to visit Heinz Field, PNC, to see the Pirates, the Penguins, and the Steelers.
Yeah.
A lot of them like the old buildings, the skyline. And it was shocking. And you know, I noticed more and more businesses are locating in Pittsburgh because you got Carnegie Mellon, University of Pittsburgh, which is great for the city.
Yeah.
So I don't think Pittsburgh gets enough credit. You know, we've been stationed all around the world, you know, Asia, Europe, you know, Africa, Central America, and there's no place like Pittsburgh.
No, I'd agree. I mean, you know, we've been lucky. We've seen a lot of the world. And it's funny because, I mean, I go downtown. I don't go down a whole lot. But, you know, I'll ask you guys this. You know, you're familiar with downtown. You grew up here. Those are your stomping grounds. They've got a whiskey scene. And they've got a cigar scene down there that's pretty wild, too. And it's kind of cool to see. Now, I'm going to throw this to – I'm going to ask both of you, Craig, Dan. downtown, how do you say it? Downtown. So that's my
we're going downtown.
Right there, what are the whiskey places? I remember one that I have butchered the name. Literally.
Butcher in the Rye. Yeah. I wish they'd open back up full time. I know they've had issues with staffing. Then you got Bridges and Bourbon in the city. And there's a bunch of other little places popping up here and there, which is great because it's bourbon. It's giving us more of a selection, more of a place to go. The other crazy thing is the cigar scene in Pittsburgh. You got Burn. You got Blend. You got Just the Tip. You got so many places in and around Pittsburgh. You know, if you want to have a good pour, or if you want to have a stick, which is nice too. But a lot of these smaller cigar lounges on the outskirts of Pittsburgh, it's BYOB, which is great
because
you go down there with a couple buddies, you take a bottle. There's a place at Moon, and I can't remember the name of it for the life of me. It's right across from the Walmart. But that place right out there in Moon Township, you know, every time I'm out there, there's always a ton of guys and everybody's sharing bottles and it's a great time.
Okay. So it's not just downtown, but I mean, the peripheral townships and stuff like Just the Tip Cigars in Bethel Park, man, just amazing, you know, cigar bar, that you can go in, bring a bottle in, crack it open with your buddies. You know, there's a place up in Robinson that we used to go to kind of after work, swing by, have a stick and a pour.
The Leaf and Beans and some of the bigger places.
I go downtown. Wife always drags me downtown.
So what's the place?
Well, never my scene to go downtown, but when she drags me downtown, I'm always happy to be down there. I would say the Warren Bar.
Okay.
Warren is a very good selection, very extensive. If you want to sample a bunch of things that you could not typically find, tater bottles... Absolutely.
Potato bottles.
Yeah. And I would tell you their jasmine rice, amazing. I can make a meal out of their jasmine rice, though. But yeah, the Warren Bar, it's a great place. I always have to default to my wife. Unfortunately, she's not staying here. When Dan talks about the cigar bar downtown, maybe Blend, those places, I always forget. I think Blend I've been to.
You got to go to Burn. The one thing I like about Burn... Cigar selection is all right, but if you like food and you like sliders, hands down, I'd say Burn got the best sliders in all of Pittsburgh.
So you get a stick of pour and some sliders up in your gut.
Oh yeah, why not?
For sure.
Yeah, I would say Warren Bar. Common theme I hear about downtown Pittsburgh, Warren Bar definitely seems to amongst bourbon whiskey enthusiasts. I would say Warren Bar is definitely. Top three in Pittsburgh, though, that you need to go check out.
So I'll mix it up a bit because, you know, Pittsburgh is also kind of known for its craft brewery scene. It's, you know, we have some of the best craft breweries.
All over. Arsenal Cider.
Fatheads. You can't leave Fatheads out.
Yeah. So, you said Fatheads. So I have in my hand a bottle that Fatheads did from Liberty Pole. They did a barrel pick. It's a rye whiskey. And Fatheads is they make, you know, their stuff is amazing beer wise, but they've got quite a little bourbon and whiskey selection down there as well. And they're great people, and they're always very generous. And matter of fact, I got this bottle from them because I missed this release at Liberty Pole. God forgive me. And they did a good job. But, yeah, they've got quite the little selection. So you can go down there and get you a pint and get you a pour, have a stick, have some great food, and really live it up. So, I mean, yeah, we talk about Pittsburgh and you know, just what a great atmosphere and kind of bringing back the whiskey and the tastings and the downtown experience. And, yeah, you can't – I mean, we've been to big cities, you know. We've been to Munich and Brussels and London and Paris and Berlin and Frankfurt and God knows what, Tokyo and all these other places. I can't think of a more interesting city that, you know, in the U.S. I'm not discounting any other city, by the way, because I know those of you that live in New York City are probably like, man, screw this guy, right? But it's a pretty cool, big, little city, right? I mean...
I'll tell you, if you ever get off the beaten path, so when I was stationed here for the military the first time, I bought a house in Canonsburg, PA, and nothing was going on there. No casino over on Racetrack Road. South Point had not blown up. Houston butts up to Canonsburg. Move away, go to Columbus, Ohio, come back, and now you have Helltown Brewing, you have Voodoo Brewing, you have so many places that you have Liberty Pole Spirits down there. If you ever want to make a day of it, highly suggest you get an Uber or a Lyft, but you could hit Liberty Pole, Voodoo Brewing, Helltown, Houston, PA, Racetrack Road, hit Liberty
Pole. Hit the casino.
Canonsburg, right.
Go do some shopping over the outlets.
Yeah, you literally could go down there.
Hit the medicinal marijuana place, right? We allowed to say that.
You retirees can. Once I get out, I can hit
that. I'm just saying.
Well, it's medical for now.
Yeah. But you got Primanti Brothers out there too.
But it's a nice little gym though. Houston, yeah. Racetrack Road, Liberty Pole Spirits though. You have Houston, PA. Well, I think Voodoo and Helltown both fall in Houston technically. Canonsburg has a lot of local bars.
We'll call it all Greater Pittsburgh, South Hills area.
The suburbs of Pittsburgh. Great little day trip for you, for those in the Pittsburgh area to go check out.
Oh, 100%. I mean, when you get to the whiskey, I think we're seeing a whiskey revival in Pennsylvania. We should never have had a revival because this is very much the heritage of whiskey. For those of you looking to dive into whiskey and don't know a lot about it, you really got to read up on the Whiskey Rebellion and where it started, the origins, and how it feeds into bourbon, which is America's whiskey, America's drink. But rye plays a huge part in that, and it starts here in Pennsylvania for the most part.
Yeah, and I'm not going to allow you to go on the tangent we went on Friday.
We will not do it.
Because we had some good conversations Friday night. We weren't able to get the podcast up because we had some technical issues.
Yeah, we don't know what we're doing. That's really a technical issue.
Yeah, we're a bunch of idiots trying to figure out how to do a podcast.
Sorry.
That's part of the problem. We pregame a little bit too much before we get on.
Yeah.
But with that said, we had a conversation earlier. You know, we have a lot of good pours here and there.
Yes.
And there's a lot of pours that we haven't been able to have we luck
at. Why do I feel like you're going to stump me?
Because sometimes we luck at, we're just at a place or we're over a buddy's house that has a bottle or restaurant or a bar. You know, what's one or two bottles that, you haven't tried or you have tried that you would like to try again?
You're gonna put me on the spot with this. This is my top five. I'll go top five of bottles that I want.
Nobody wants top five. Let's go with three. That's too long.
Because
you're long-winded.
STFU, right?
You're long-winded and people shut off the podcast.
I hate your face.
So we need to keep it down to three.
All right, let me go ahead and tell you mine because he's taking too long here.
Yeah.
So,
go ahead, Craig. Dick.
I will always say this. People always talk about Tater Chasers, though. Like what you like. Just own it, though. J.D. Coyhill.
Ah, you took my...
I have always been very interested in J.D. Coyhill. I will say probably the only thing above 140 proof I've ever tried is probably moonshine. Bourbon or whiskey, I don't think I ever have. But J.D. Coyhill, very interested to try that, though. Second one, default to you, Jason. So what do you got?
No.
Not really sure.
You committed for three.
I'll jump in. Probably about 8-9 years ago. Yeah, I'll say probably about 2016. When Butcher and the Rye was booming. I mean, Butcher and the Rye, that is the place to be in Pittsburgh. I was down there with a group of people. One of the guys bought a rind for everybody. The Colonel, and you're gonna smash me on this for being a tater. But he bought a rind of the Colonel E.H. Taylor Warehouse C Tornado Survivor for everybody.
Okay.
Didn't know what it was. Really enjoyed it. I went back down to the bar, once we went out upstairs to eat, and I was going to order it, pulled it up on the menu, seen the price, and was like, yeah, that's out of my price range. Not going to order nuts of that. If I ever landed a bottle of that, I'd be pretty happy. What was when we did the blind taste test with Ty and Craig, the one that I really liked?
So that was the Kentucky Spirit.
Okay, and that's made by Wild Turkey, correct?
Wild Turkey,
yeah. Okay, with that said, because Wild Turkey always has this you know, it's Wild Turkey. It falls with the Wild Turkey, Jim Beam for the people that aren't into bourbon.
Yeah. And the lower shelf. I mean,
they kind of shy away from it. But, right. You know, I've been doing some reading because I'm trying to get a little deeper into bourbon like the two of you guys. And, you know, I'm going to
Generations?
I'm going to be a tater and go with the Wild Turkey Generations, okay. Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey. You know, I read some reviews on that. But again, that's out of my price range. For what my pocket can afford, but you know, if somebody had a bottle, I would
take it.
I'd take it. Wouldn't mind having a sip or two.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Listen, I don't. There's no wrong answer to this, right? Because we drink what we like, especially on this podcast. We're gonna keep it authentic, and right, we're gonna talk real talk and give each other a hard time, either which way it goes. So, for me, Craig, thanks for stealing Coy Hill. That is one bottle that has been very elusive for me. So. For the listeners out there, I have a kind of a code that I go by. I don't buy secondary. I pride in myself on building a collection based on retail and just being stupid lucky or within the margin of retail. I think, you know, that you can kind of go up and down $20 each way. And I've been pretty good at rounding out a decent collection and trying new things that way. Coy Hill's on that list. I missed the release here in PA. It burns me to this day. It's one that I would taste, but that's off the list. So I'm going to go with a potato, and that is George T. Stagg. And you guys know I have been chasing this bottle for probably 5 years now.
Particular year?
Well, I prefer 2008, but I don't think you're going to find 2008 without spending beaucoup dollars. Yeah, I'm not trying to.
Why 2008?
That was the year of the last bottle that I had before I killed it off, foolishly thinking that, oh, you know, I'll be able to find this, no problem. And it used to be like that for, I mean, you remember, Buffalo Chase products used to sit on the shelf. And so I had three or four George T. Staggs. They were different years. And I killed them off, and I went looking, thinking, okay, well, it'll be a kind of a challenge to find it within retail. And, Craig, this is kind of your area of expertise, but retail on a George T. Stagg bottle is true retail. It's probably $150, $160, right? Is that about right?
Unfortunately, my tater rear end does not always know retail, but a 2023 GTS secondary, yeah, you're generally talking like $700 retail. I mean, $700 would be a good get.
A good grab on the secondary.
And hypothetically speaking, on a Facebook group, hypothetically, yes.
Yeah. So, I have not been able to source a GTS, and I've given up hope on ever getting a 2008 or a 2014, which was the other one that I had. Just good memories. It's a great bottle. So yeah, if I could ever find the GTS, that'd probably be my number one. My number two.
What? Let me interrupt you. About a William LaRue Weller? Have you ever had that?
Yes.
I have not.
Yes. I have.
Just pure curiosity.
And I think it's delicious. Don't get me wrong. But there are other bottles out there that just kind of wowed me more. So I would take a Blood Oath Pack 2 if I could find it again. Blood Oath Pack 2 was the first Blood Oath I'd ever had. And, really? And maybe it's nostalgia.
Well, I mean, I've never had a that's going back for Blood Oath.
Yeah. Lot of this may just be I had it and I had a fond memory or I had a good experience or I was kicking back with the boys and we were pouring it back and it just kind of sticks in your mind, which in my opinion is what whiskey should be, right? You're palling around with your family and your friends and there's memories there and – you know, when you tilt it back, it brings back a good flood of emotions. So it may just be that. I mean, I may taste the Blood Oath Pack too, and it may taste like shit. And I may be like,
I don't think it's going to taste like shit.
No,
you're going to enjoy it either way.
Let me ask you a question. You talk about drinking whiskey with friends.
Yeah.
So maybe I'm the only one that does this. So when I have So when I have a friend that comes over, you have someone who's very new. I consider myself very new to the bourbon whiskey world. When someone comes over new, who thinks Blanton's is the pinnacle, what would you crack them though? Would you actually pour them an Eagle Rare 17? Would you pour them a Blood Oath Pack 2? Mm. What do you do out of curiosity when someone who does not have that palate who's ever experiencing these flavors?
So if they're up to it, we did this. Because remember when we did the blind challenge, I want to blind them. because a lot of people are like, oh, I got to have this Blanton's, got to have this Blanton's. And so what I do is I want to pull in three single barrels, and I don't want to tell them what it is. And I just want them to tell me just very layman's terms, like, which one did you like the most? And it has never failed to this day, because I've done this. I did it with you guys, and all of you collectively chose what?
Wild Turkey. Me and Darren both chose Wild Turkey Kentucky Spirits.
Over New Riff Single Barrel, which is a very good single barrel, and Blanton's.
Yes.
So that's what I like to do. So, I mean, yeah, a lot's made of what we call taters and stuff like that. So, you know, William T. Lauer, yeah, I would enjoy it. It wouldn't rank up there. My third is probably one that people would kind of like, what the hell is a bourbon guy or a whiskey guy? Like, I really, really, really want to have a Balvenie 50. And I had this. I was very fortunate. My father-in-law came up over to Germany. We were stationed over there, and we went to Dortmund.
Yeah,
yeah. You've heard this story. So this place we went to was a hotel that Napoleon Bonaparte stayed at. And so I'm a history nerd, and we're in there and we're eating this just fantastic shank steak, and it's got onions on it. And he looks at me and says, "You want to pour a Balvenie?" And this was really before I liked scotch a whole lot. I wasn't a big scotch guy at this point. And I'd had a Balvenie 12 in the glass. So I'm like, well, sure. And he orders this thing. And if memory serves, this was close to about 400 euro a pour. A pour. Yeah, I know. You're looking at me like, what the fuck, right? Yeah, so because believe me, when you tell me, I wish he didn't tell me because pour. I want to know. I don't want to know the cost, because I think that affects kind of how I interpret it. This was the smoothest scotch I'd ever had in my entire life. I don't think I'll ever be able to afford it again. If you go and look for it now, it's $18,000 a bottle. So yeah, I'm not ponying up the money. But if I could find it at retail,
yeah,
someplace, I would be more than welcome to grab that bottle. So birthday's coming soon. You know, I'm just saying, anybody out there.
But you got like 6 months to your birthday. What are you talking about?
It's coming. It's coming soon.
Coming in 2024. That's what you're saying. Yeah.
So that long story, because I'm long winded. Those are my top three. At the end of the day, though, whatever you really like is what you want to. You try new things. That list will change. It'll change in 6 months, I'm sure.
Oh yeah.
But I'll come up with something else. Dan, what do you think?
Well, I think Craig's over in the corner dying.
Hacking up a lung.
Yeah. Probably blame it on me for letting him smoke a cigar.
Well, you know.
But I definitely have to say, Cigar Starts, Julian, you guys knocked that cigar out of the park.
Definitely.
I mean, it was great. Appreciate the love. Appreciate all the love you shoot. You guys have been showing Bullets and Bourbon. And I'll definitely be buying a lot more cigar from you guys.
Yeah,
so appreciate
I'll echo that, man. Thank you so much for taking care of us and showing us the good ways. And you know, we definitely look forward to puffing on some more of those great sticks. And you know, for all of our listeners out there, thank you for supporting us. And you know, keep the questions coming in. If there's something particular you want us to hit on, certain type of bourbon, whiskey, whatever, we're here for you. We like to joke around, have fun, and just kind of keep it real authentic and core. So, again, thank you for tuning in. Next podcast will be out soon. And as always, stay thirsty, my friends. Cheers.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast of Bullets and Bourbon. Remember to like, comment, and subscribe so you never miss an episode.